I was born on December 30th of 1998. And my parents were in the middle of their careers, so they had to stop for a while. And my father started working for, you know, for sustaining our family. But then I grew and they decided to go back to their careers. So I remember a lot of my first years. I remember being in their school. And, you know, I was just a baby, but I can remember some stuff. And they separated when I was very, very little. So I don't remember, like, them being as a couple, you know. I only have, like, one memory of them being together. But they loved me so much that they decided to get along as friends just for the purpose of raising me. And even in that, I can see that God has his hand in me. Because I know that some kids can be not loved by their parents only because they get separated, but they gave me so much love, and they still do. And that's a blessing for me. Even I grew in a dysfunctional family, my family gave me a lot of love and raised me very, very well. And I was a very good kid. Like, really, I once told Pastor Angelo that I was so good that once I asked my mom to ground me just to feel how it feels to be grounded. That's how good I was. So, and she was, she was like, why? And I was like, I don't know, like, I see all these kids grounded and I'm just like free here. But that was funny. But my parents, they are actors. So that lifestyle is very, like, liberal as an actor and actress. So they never raised me with the Bible. They never raised me in the church. They didn't believe in Jesus. My mom believed in God, but she was, like, just searching all around where was God. And that's why my name is Shanti. My mom, when she was pregnant, she was into, like, Hinduism, and so they say a lot Shanti, and my second name is Narayana, which means God among men, but that's why my name is that, because my mom was searching all around where was God, and she tried a lot of spiritual things. My parents were very hippie because of their careers. So, you know, I also grew with a very fun family, dysfunctional family, but it was very fun because they are actors, so they make a show for everything. Yeah. Well... Do you know them? all of my family, from my father, have been Christian since I can remember. I live in Mexico City, so they live in another state, like 4 hours away. And I go to visit them, like, twice a year, probably. But every time I went to visit them, they took me to their church, and I remember, I'm going to explain you and tell you a story. When I was 7 years old, my aunt, I'm going to cry, my aunt, she was like, I can see now that she was very concerned about me because my parents weren't raising me with the Bible, with God, with Jesus. So she once came to me and she told me, do you want to receive Christ in your heart? And I was 7 years old, so I was like, yeah, sure. And I prayed for receiving Christ when I was 7 years old. And I remember one Sunday when I went to their church, I just felt this heavy love over me, and I felt like God telling me, I love you. And this is, I felt sharing this with you because I know some of you are parents. And maybe sometimes you can think that kids don't understand what is the love of God. But they do. And I did understand what the love of God was because I was 7 years old and I felt such a heavy presence of God over me. But anyways, I went back to Mexico City and it was just like normal again because my parents weren't raising me that way. And but this is where it gets interesting. I grew and high school happened. I entered high school and at the same time my mom was moving to Spain because of a job. So I was 16 years old by that time and I was old enough to make my decision of staying in Mexico or going with my mom to Spain. So she asked me, do you want to go to Spain with me? And I told her, I don't want to go. I want to stay here in Mexico with my dad. And I was just starting high school, so I was like, I don't want to go. So she moved, and my mom was always like the strict person. My father was more like light. So the strict parent went away. And I had so much freedom. And the well-behaved girl was gone. Like, I started having friends that were just like crazy. And I started partying every single Friday. I used to drink a lot of alcohol. My grades were like a roller coaster. They were like good and bad and good and bad. And my life was just a mess, but I didn't feel it was a mess. I felt that it was perfect. Like, I literally once was in my room and I was thinking, well, I think my life is just perfect. Like, I'm having fun and I have a lot of friends. I sort of get along with my parents, and I have a boyfriend. And I had a boyfriend. And this is a very strong part of my testimony. Because these things were so important for me to really give my life completely to Jesus. The party and all of the joy was very temporary. When you are in those things, you feel like it's gonna be like that all your life, but it's just like in a second it can fall apart. And I was so in love with a boy, and I was like, oh yeah, he's the love of my life, and you know. But I was really like, really, really in love with this boy. And then one day, we were dating for like almost 2 years. So one day, he told me like, well, my ex-girlfriend is pregnant and I'm the father. And I was like, what? And it just broke me so hard. Like, and my dad was mad, like mad. And it was a very rough and tough season for me. Because all of this party and alcohol were damaging already my stomach. So it was not like, it wasn't just like a joy fading away, but it was also like a damage staying in my body. And the doctor told me you cannot eat any more like spicy things and you cannot drink alcohol anymore because if not, you're going to the hospital. And I was like, wow, okay. And then, so that fell apart. And then, like, my boyfriend life fell apart also because of the situation going on. And for like 6 months or 8 months, I was in depression, like just, and I didn't know I was depressed. I was just like, I wasn't enjoying life. I wasn't just being myself anymore. And so by that time, I was ending my second year of high school. And for the last 3 years, my father started like accepting guidance from my aunt, Jessica, his sister, to start reading the Bible. My aunt Jessica got married, and in her wedding, we both, my father and I, both sensed something different and something holy happening in that wedding. I was just crying and crying in her wedding, and I didn't understand why. But now I understand why something holy was happening in that wedding. And the pastor of my aunt told my dad that we needed to go to church in Mexico City, not just when we were in town visiting twice a year. And so I started my last year of high school. And a month later, we found a church nearby our house because we went to visit an uncle, and just walking towards his house, there was this church. We decided to give it a try. By the second Sunday, I accepted Christ in my heart and gave my life to him. This Sunday, I heard the service, I heard the worship, everything was like, oh, cool, it's good, you know, just sitting there in a chair. And then at the end, my pastor said, if you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't given your life to Christ, then raise your hand and you can come to the altar. And many people raised their hands, but I was just like, maybe I will when I feel more comfortable, and maybe I will when I know more the people, you know. Like, I was just putting so much excuses for not going to the altar, and I was like, no, like, I don't think I'm ready, and I really don't feel like going there, you know? And then, as I was thinking that, another thought replied my thoughts, and it was God. It was the Holy Spirit, but it was like the first time I ever heard his voice. And he told me, what are you waiting for? And I was like, what? Like, who is this? But it kept repeating, like, what are you waiting for? And I just decided to take a step of faith, and I went to the altar, and I prayed for receiving Christ. And then they took us to another room, and another brother explained us what was happening. And I really, really thank God for the life of that brother, because he explained us this is not just like an emotional, experience. This is a commitment experience, and you have prayed to commit with God for your whole life. And I was like, wow, like something clicked in my mind and in my heart. And also as I was going to the altar, I told God, if you heal my heart, because I was in so much pain, if you heal my heart, I will serve you my whole life. And obviously he did. He healed my heart, and he changed my life in a second. Just like that, he changed me. And it was so radical that when I went to school on Monday, my friends were like, what happened? Like, you were something a Friday, and now you're something different on Monday. That's how radical it was. I still can't explain what happened, really, but it's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the blood of Jesus. it was all over me, and I couldn't just, I couldn't be quiet anymore. I had to like tell my friends what happened. I told them I met Jesus and he changed my life and he's my savior. And my friends were like, wow. And we, my high school is Catholic, but no one takes it seriously. And actually, it's worse than that. They mock at God. Like, they say, oh, Jesus, yeah, right. So when they were listening to me, some of them were very interested. Some of them didn't care. Like, they were just like, okay. And some of them came to me to ask me more things and told me, but they told me, like, do you read the Bible? Who is Jesus? And they asked me a lot of things. And I haven't seen a friend that has changed by God. But I know there's a seed there in their hearts. I have a story, a little story that I told Pastor Teresa, that I've been telling her that the fourth day of the month, something happens. Like, it just, something happens. And just to see my life, I remember the 4th of December of 2015, I was in my most rebellious stage. I ran away to Cuernavaca. That's like a place for vacation, you know? So one weekend I ran away on the 4th of December of 2015. And my father just like knew about it until the last day I was there. Like, somehow he knew. But the 4th of December of 2016, I got baptized in water. And it's such like an amazing thing. It's mind-blowing for me to be like, just in 1 year to see like two different, completely different things. I started growing and growing in the church and growing with Jesus. So why am I here with you today? I was confused of where I was supposed to study the career I wanted, fashion design. And I prayed for months to God to tell me where to study, because my mom was telling me, like, you should come with me, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I don't think so. So I was very confused about that, and for months I prayed for God to tell me where to go, and he didn't answer. So I told God, if you don't tell me where to go, I won't move. And I decided to take a year off school to go deeply with God. In that same week, I met Pastor Angelo and Pastor Teresa. And so I decided to give my life for 1 year to listen what God wanted in my life. And he answered in a week. Like, you know, I was praying for months for school and he didn't answer. And then I tell him, like, I'm going to follow you. And he answers in 1 week. So so it's like, really, God? So Pastor Alan Jother, I don't know if you know him. But anyways, he's a pastor. And the first night that they were there in my church, Pastor Alan Jother gave me a prophecy that I was going to go to many nations and be an influencer over my generation. He told me that my father was going to do great things, but I was going to do greater things. And I was like, wow. Like, sometimes we can't see ourselves as God sees us. And in that moment, I was like, I don't believe that God is going to use me greater than my father, because my father is being used so tremendously. If you knew him, he would say, like, wow. And, but God, and this is something that God told me to share with you and to tell you in your lives, that sometimes we see ourselves as this high and as this tall, but God sees us like this. And it's amazing how God loves us and his grace, his amazing grace. We were singing that today. And I wrote this in my testimony of how I would describe my testimony in just a sentence. It would be amazing grace that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I see the light. And I see Jesus, and I see how my generation is so lost, and it breaks my heart. But if he changed me in just 1 second, I know he can change my whole generation in less than that. Now I have been here for almost 6 months, and I analyze everything that has happened to me, and I can see why God brought me here. He replied my question. I asked him, what is your willing in my life? And he brought me here to answer my question, and he has called me to missions. For the Great Commission, you know, we all have the Great Commission in our hearts, in our lives, in our paths. We have this task to give, to take the gospel to the unreached people. And I can see why God has brought me here. He has shown me just a little bit of his willing in my life. He is now taking me to Thailand. I had a vision. I probably shared already this with you. I had a vision of an elephant in a river. And that same night, I saw a picture on Facebook of an elephant in a river. And it said, go volunteer Thailand. And in that same day, I met the pastor that is in Thailand. So I'm going now to Thailand, and it's a short-term trip this time, but I'm sure God is going to call me long-term there. Once I'm there, he's going to show me what he wants of me there. And it's been only a year and months since I decided to give my life to Jesus, and look what he has done. If I had never said yes to that still small voice and gone to the altar for giving my life to Jesus, I wouldn't be here today sharing with you. That's how powerful, that's how tremendously the voice of God is. That's why it's so important for us to be obedient. Because his plans are bigger than ours. And if I have not been obedient in that moment of answering that, what are you waiting for, in my mind, I wouldn't be here today. And I would probably be in Mexico City, you know, and that would have been fine. But this is better. And the plans of God are better. It's not that your plans are bad and may not seem bad, but God says, like, your plans are good, but mine are better. So be obedient. And I hope you can see how small my plans were and how great his plans are. Isaiah 55:9 says that that his ways are greater than ours. This really surpasses me and makes me cry out to God and tell him who I am to do these great things, and who am I for you to use me? Who am I for you to love me? But it isn't about me. It is about him. It isn't about who I am. It is about who he is. And he is a loving God. He gave his life. Sorry. I'm a little sick, so sorry. Sorry. So I want you, if you're here today and you haven't, if you have not give your life to Jesus, I want to say to your life that you may think you're not ready and you may have a lot of excuses. But if you don't take a step today, who knows what God has for you today? Like, I don't know if I am explaining right this. But God has something for you all today, and you need to step out, take a leap of faith, even though you don't see nothing today. There's something more for you, and just be obedient to the voice of God, because it's amazing how God can use a willing heart. Yes. And it's amazing how God can use an obedient heart. So
hallelujah. She said yes. She said yes. And so if you haven't received the Lord today, I want to ask you to take a step. Take a step. If that's you that needs Jesus, would you raise your hand right now? Would you raise your hand? The time is now. What are you waiting for? Is what the Lord says, because I'm here. I'm here. And if we are saved, many of us already have taken that step. But there's a lot more yeses. There's a lot more yeses. We wonder sometimes, God, why is the world so bad? And he sent us. And every time we say yes, every time we obey, he opens doors. So if you want to say yes to the Lord, would you stand to your feet? Whatever he's asking of you right now. Lord, that we would surrender our lives to you even more. That we could say, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So, Lord, more of you and less of me. Oh, Lord God, the sweet surrender. Lord, I thank you for Shanti's testimony, oh God. Thank you that you've used her to speak to our hearts today. And Lord God, I thank you not only has she said yes to your salvation and your love, she said yes to a call. And so, Lord, we bless her, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for all that she's been for us in this season, oh Lord God. And oh, Lord God, Lord, for the places you're taking to her, Lord, taking her to, we bless her. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Shanti, you can stay up here. Let's move this out of the way. Yeah, I want to open the altar and prayer team if you want to take your place, unless you're responding. You know, one of the things, when Shanti was sensing a call to mission, she even told the Lord, any place from but Asia. God said, well, Asia happens to be the place that's on my heart and mind for you. And she said yes to that so far, and it sounds like she's ready to give God more yeses and hear from God more in Thailand. So I want to just open the altar. Church is about taking a step toward Jesus. What is he asking each one of us right now? What's the next step? What's that? Maybe an uncomfortable step. Maybe you know it's a what have you been waiting for thing in your spirit, and you've kind of been just resisting or a little hesitant. You want all the information at once, and God just says, trust me. I'm good. My love endures forever. I have the best plan. Maybe it's something that it's you've said to God, Lord, anything but this, but and you know it's that. And maybe there's a little bit of a fear or, again, a tentativity of I don't know what it's going to cost. Well, Jesus paid the whole price for each one of us already. And he has the best for us. And so I just sense this day the Lord is looking for us just to just take that step of faith, as Shanti spoke, just that step of faith toward the altar. She had to take that step of faith toward the altar, and there's something about when the priests put their foot in the floodwaters of the Jordan, it stopped flowing. Hallelujah. There's something about just saying yes and taking that first step of faith. Hallelujah. And so I just want to open the altar and have Shanti up here to pray for people and the prayer team as well. And just come, let's just, as Barry just ministers unto the Lord, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to flow and do something fresh in us. I remember responding to an altar call after a sermon in 2002, January of 2002. And it's when the Lord began asking me, will you go to Reading? Here I am. Here we are. God has saved the best until now. He saved the best until now. And we receive it and walk in it, giving God our unconditional yes. Hallelujah. So will we just do that, church? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shanti, for sharing so powerfully what God is doing in your life. The altar's open, church. Holy Spirit, move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh.